praise you, Jesus. If it's not your story, it needs to change, praising your Savior all day long. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who's in charge of children's church today? Chuck and Tanya? All right. Just want to make sure we get a little rotation in there once in a while. Y'all ready to receive from the Lord this morning? Okay, just a little bit of clarification. Our Bible study on Wednesday night, you need to do your homework if you're going to come. So do your homework so you'll have a reason to come. The focus is not on what happens to babies when they die. That's just a question so you'll begin to be able to see a picture that most Christians don't understand. The true question is, where we're going to go is, are you born in sin? Are you found in iniquity? And if you're looking through your Strong's, I would suggest you look up found in or with iniquity. And let's see if we can't change our thinking. A little challenge to you. And if you don't like what I said, good. If it creates a question, good. We need to change some of the way our... We need to disregard, not throw away, but disregard for a moment our old teachings so that we can let God speak a new one into our hearts. Amen? If the old way is good enough, then stay there, but let the rest of us move on. We need to remember Bob and Karen, or Bob today. I was able to get him back a little bit today. Because not too long ago, I was in a lot of pain, and I called them for prayer because I was seriously considering not showing up that morning. And he called me back and he said, I've got a word of the Lord for you. He says, you need to be about your Father's business. So I came to church. So this morning when they called and said, we're not coming, I called him back and I said, I got a word of the Lord for you. But you know what? It's amazing how sometimes you want me to take your advice, but you don't want to take mine. And it's even more amazing how many times I do take your advice and you don't take mine. Let me give you an old country saying, which is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you expect me to be a man of faith and stand up and do what I'm supposed to do, then you do the same thing. Right? And if you expect God to bless me because I do that, then I expect God to bless you because you do that. And the negative part of that is when we fail, don't expect the blessing. That tough talk, you need it. I need it. We need it. We need the truth. We don't need stroking. We don't need soft talk. You can do that on Valentine's Day. The rest of the time, let's just speak truth. Okay? Praise the Lord. I want you all to meet this gentleman back there on the backside after church. If nothing else, just to listen to him talk. Okay, he's from Havana, Cuba. That's the way we say it. That's not the way they say it. And I appreciate him being here this morning. I pray that God blesses you so much you just die to come back. Amen? And that's everybody here. Okay, that's my notes. I got them out of the way. All right, children, if you are supposed to go to children's church, go there. Obey your teacher. She's bigger than you are. And teacher, if they don't obey, prove it. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to the reason we're here this morning. Father, hallowed be your name. Holy and blameless and pure are you. We say to you this morning, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Forget what we've asked. Forget what we've thought. Forgive us of our trespasses. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this earthen body, on this earth, give us what we need this morning, Lord. Today, our daily bread. That will not only sustain us, but strengthen us. Make us capable of doing your will. And we will be faithful to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And we will never exalt ourselves. In complaining, our praising, our ministering, will we ever exalt ourselves. We'll be faithful to exalt you from now and throughout eternity. And everybody that agrees to receive by the will of God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I started a message last week. We're going to finish it one way or the other this week. We're going to finish it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. Remember the title of our message. We're actually seeking. We're in a broad spectrum of how to get your prayers answered. In case you have missed that, that's what a lot of this is about. There's many in here that want to be healed. They want to be redeemed. They want to be delivered. They want to be forgiven. Most of us have all of these desires to be successful, prosperous. And let's just term it under, let's put it all under one term called healed. Amen? We need to quit being so childish to think and so scholastic that we think we have to have about 40 or 50 different names. There's one name that's above all names. Why don't we get that simple? Why don't we just start clumping everything, all of our problems in one name, so we can let that one name stand up against that one name and see who wins? Y'all acted like that was complicated. I didn't make that complicated, did I? Healed is the name we need. And that's wrapped up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. What do you need to be healed of? Everything that is causing you discomfort. Whether it's pain or finances, mental problems, physical problems, children problems, I don't care. Let's quit being so silly to think that if we look for enough names, we'll find one name that's above Jesus. Now, the title of the message, number one, do you listen? Number two, do you obey? Number three, are my feet beautiful? And number four, what are you thinking? Now, last week we covered at least, do you listen? And most of, do you obey? A little quick review. Our review is something that we step on each other's toes with, okay? Call to our remembrance. One thing we know as Christians, that when we seek another source, we will always be in need of that other source. When we seek Jesus, we'll always be in need of Jesus, but we won't be in need. We seek another source, we'll always be in need. We seek Jesus, we won't be in need. We'll have what we need. The more you seek a lawyer, the more you're going to need a lawyer. The more you seek a doctor, the more you're going to need a doctor. Never in my life ever met a doctor that said, you have no need of me anymore. Even when you're well and healthy and he signs it off, he'll say, come back and see me in another month or days or whatever. You seek Jesus as your healer. I promise you when that's done, you won't have to ask him again if it's done. It'll be done. The devil may come along and tell you it's not done, but you already know him to be a liar, so you don't listen. Amen. Good. The more you seek to trust Jesus, the easier it'll be to trust him. The more you seek to trust another source, the more you'll continue to try and the more you'll know you shouldn't anyway. Those that are always seeking a word will forever be seeking a word. Those that seek the author will have eternal life. The last one, whatever contract, whatever promise, whatever authority comes your way, whatever insurance policy, whatever assurance policy, whatever word of insurance or assurance, if it's not signed in blood, it's worth nothing. Somebody offers you encouragement, find out if it's signed in blood. If it's not, flee. Run. Okay. Here's the key verse that we got all four of those questions and all four of the answers. Romans 10, verse 15 through 17. Romans 10, verse 15 through 17. It says this. Do I need to give you a minute? Romans chapter 10, verse 15 through 17. Now, one of the things that I might have caused some confusion about last week, and since I did that, I might as well continue with it. One of the things I want you to understand, everybody's called, but not everybody's called to preach. Everybody's called, but not everybody's called to preach. Everybody's called to be ready with an answer, but not everybody's called to give the answer. What are you trying to do? Exalt yourself, Stan? Oh, sure, sure, sure. Those of you that know me pretty well, you know that I don't need your pat on the back. I don't need that. I know Jesus, so I don't need any pats. Is that egotistical? So be it. I don't need anybody's pats. I don't seek anybody's applause. I'm getting mature enough in Christ Jesus not to seek applause. But you know what I want? I want above all things, brethren, that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. God calls preachers, teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles and prophets to mature your souls. And those people you need to listen to. Okay? Romans 10, verse 15. And howsoever shall they preach unless they are sent? I've been in a lot of places that are full of self-appointed preachers. But the Scripture itself says, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now that's the preachers and the ones that are listening to the preachers. They've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now I'm going to give you a report of the Lord this morning. And at the end, you're going to fall into those that believe or you disbelieve. And it'll be pure to your choice. Right? Trust me. The Lord will protect you. You don't have to trust me. You trust that the Lord protects you. What does that mean? He'll cause you to hear what you need to hear. You don't have to be so full of fear that I'm going to say something strange that you can't listen to anything that I say. Number one, I will say something strange. Number two, you can trust the Lord. Come on, let's just get it down to black and white, okay? So then faith comes by hearing what? The Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Come on, let's get baby simple right here. I don't care who you are, faith will not grow without hearing the Word of God. Well, Stan, it will come by reading. Oh, well, then we need to change this. We can change this then. We'll just mark out the hearing and put reading. Oh, well, I don't need to go to church. Well, excuse me, we'll just change the Bible for you. I'm sure you're right, and that those that wrote the Bible are wrong. So we'll just mark out that hearing, right? Well, me and God have a good relationship. Wasn't checking out your relationship. We were checking out your growth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number one, do you listen? Very simple, very quickly. How many of you have talked or had somebody... No, let's keep it so you can feel it better. How many of you have spoken to somebody sometime and realized they didn't hear words you said? You were speaking clearly, correct? You passed all of your English. You know that you can write well, speak well. You don't have such a bad speech impediment that nobody can understand. Why did they not hear you? They were right across the table from you. They were sitting right beside you. Why didn't they hear? Because they were not listening. Anybody thinks that they can be in a room and the Word, you can get it by osmosis, it's not possible. God has designed one way of you to understand, and that is by you listening. So where's the work? In me speaking, are you listening? So I don't have to do any kind of theatrics. I don't have to spit all over the front two rows. I don't have to scream and yell and strip a gear, because it's really up to you to listen. Right? And I would suggest you do that. There are many things you can do. You can squirm. You can jump up and down. You can beat yourself. I don't care. Sleeping is something that the devil wants you to do. If you like to sleep, enter in. Listening is something that God wants you to do. If you want to please Him, enter in with whatever work that takes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's move on. Do you obey? Now, I know that you've never done this, so we'll talk about somebody else. How many of you have told somebody something plain and simple, and they leave, and instantly they do it the opposite way you told them? I know you've never done this. But if you're going to listen, can I tell you something that's incorporated into the Spirit by God Himself? Once you practice listening, you must obey. Because then you become accountable. And after you hear, it can be accounted to you sin if you disobey. You'll never be held accountable for something you didn't know. But that won't fly in the face of God, because He will present you with somebody that will cause you to hear and cause you to be accountable. All right? So every word that's being spoken by the Holy Spirit, by the Word, that's rooted and grounded, you hear, you must obey. Amen? All right. Romans 10:16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." For Isaiah says, "Lord, sometimes I wonder if anybody believes our report." What you need to do is be a pastor for a little while and you'll understand what that phrase means. Does anybody ever hear anything? Now, I know you do, and I know that I do, when I try. All right, let me give you one for instance that I gave you last week. I'll give you again. Do you listen? Do you obey? The proof is in who you call. In time of trouble, who do you call? In the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, when panic attacks, when a heart acts up, when the back acts up, when you think something terribly is going wrong, who do you call? If your first thought is 911, you're not listening and you're not obeying. The fact is, you trust other sources more than God Himself. Don't stand here going flying against everything that I've been taught to believe. Praise God. That's my job. Your job is to listen and obey. How can you ever prove God unless you prove God? You know, to me, it's always amazing that people will do everything they can themselves and then try to prove God. If it works, they don't know who was successful, them or God. Or the doctor of God, or the lawyer of God, or the Indian chief of God. Well, you don't know what you're asking. I may be risking death. The Bible says to be absent here is to be present with the Father. What's the risk? Show me the risk. Sounds like taking a chance of promotion. That's what it sounds like to me. Charlotte last night said she was feeling the weight of the people that were there and the needs that were there. And she said, "God, what do I need to do? No, what do I do?" She said, God responded, "You ain't never done anything before. Why do you want to start now?" Did you hear what I said? God said to her, "You've never done anything before. Why try to start now?" Was that an insult? No. That was an eye-opener. It's not up to you what goes on. It's not up to you what God does. She listened, she obeyed. God said, "Show up, plan this meeting." She listened, she obeyed. God will do something. All right. The third question, are my feet beautiful? Now, in case you don't know, I have beautiful feet. My feet they're great. I mean, they're perfectly formed. I don't have knots, bunions, all this stuff that people... I've got a high arch like you're supposed to. My toes are correct proportion. My toenails look good. My feet don't even stink. I can wear the same pair of socks for a week and you wouldn't even know it. But if you're sniffing them, that's your problem. Why are you saying that? Don't know. Levity. But I am telling you that the Bible says those that are called to preach, they bring you gospel, good tidings of peace, and you should nearly bow to their feet. When you stand, you want somebody to bow to my... Yeah, you try bowing to my feet and see how I react. I'm going to run, or you're going to run, or something's going to happen. I don't want that. I'm trying to tell you this. If there's a man of God that's called to preach in front of you, you need to determine whether he's worth listening to or not. That's all I'm saying. That's why the question, are my feet beautiful? That means, am I called to preach? All that means is, am I called to preach? You need to determine that. And if you think that I am, if you think that I said last Sunday, there are always things that are trying to pull you away from this body. And all you need to determine is if you're better now than you were then. Amen. And if you're better now than you were then, this is the right place to be. Well, Stan, I don't like your attitude. Leave my attitude. Don't take my attitude. Pray for my attitude, but listen to the Word. Well, I don't like some of the things you say. Well, guess what? Sometimes I wake up and figure out I don't like some of the things I said. Stan, why didn't you say it another way? Well, it just didn't happen. But did we get the point across? That's the point. You know, I've spanked my children a couple of times. Never liked that ever. Ever did I like that. But it helped. It helped them. And in a way, it helped me. All right. Am I called? And if I am, Romans 10, verse 14 says this. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? I like this. You know how much I could use this? You know how a preacher could use this? Wrongly probably, but how he could use it? Every time you call on me for anything, I'm going to look back and see if you believe the last thing that I said. And if you didn't, I'm going to say, what are you calling me for? You don't believe me. That's if I were real ornery, which I'm not. How then shall they call on Him? Now this is referring to God, in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How can you believe somebody you haven't heard? And how can you hear? Because the only way to hear is through a preacher. You think this makes me happy? No. I don't like this. How would you like to have that responsibility? Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now look at me right quick. I'll guarantee you that in the Bible, you will never see Jesus doing this. That was a hippie-crazed society, a drug-crazed society that brought this up. It wasn't Jesus. It was continued with Bill Clinton while he was doing adulterous and dirty things, while he was dismantling our military, losing our presence around the world. Thank God for a man that says we know who we are. We trust God and we're going to do what it takes. Thank God for a man that's already got through the federal system a mandate that says if you stop a teacher or a student from having prayer in school, we'll cut off your federal funding. Thank God for that. By the way, do you understand? You must understand something. That when our president stands up and says, if you don't disarm, I'm going to wipe you off the face of the map, that is a messenger of peace. That is a messenger of peace. And to you, it's a messenger of glad tidings. You don't have to lay awake anymore wondering if some terrorist is going to gas you in the middle of the night. So we'll get the definition of peace and glad tidings down. Now, another way to look at this. Whose feet are you repeating? Whose feet are you repeating? If this is all about a messenger from God with a word from God, whose word are you repeating? It's not the preacher's, even though he's the one that's speaking. And you won't hear unless you listen to him speak. Is this forever? No. Practice makes better. I promise you. You know how every preacher started? By listening, not by preaching. By listening. We got too many people that are self-proclaimed professors in the Word. Self-proclaimed. Well, I have a thought. Okay. Well, I have an opinion on that matter. Okay. Are you the one that's called to speak it publicly? See, privately you can say anything you want to because that's one-on-one. But publicly, God warns about getting up and say things when you are not called. Why are you harping on this? I don't know. I don't really know. Let's figure it out. Just put up with me for a while. Whose truth are you calling truth? Yours or somebody that studied? Luke 4:18, and I'm doing a big study on this, and Isaiah also, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did you know this was written elsewhere? It was written in Isaiah before Jesus was born. So just in case you think Jesus was just talking about Himself, and by the way, He was, but our tendency is, see, it's only about Him. No. Isaiah said it. Isaiah stood boldly and said, I am anointed to preach, teach, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. Anybody in here called also to do that? See, I think everybody in here is called to give a testimony and help set people free. But not everybody's called to preach. Now listen, two different things. You need to figure out what you're called to do. Are you called to set people free? Are you called to preach? I have asked numerous times, and I would ask again this morning, anybody in here anointed to do what? Or is it just a general anointing? Well, I can show you that both of, they're two different things. And I believe everybody in here is anointed. I really do. I hope everybody in here is filled with the Holy Spirit. But I would remind you that the only way to be anointed and continue to be anointed, and I've said this before, not trying to embarrass anybody, but it's rubbing together. It's the oil of God getting on me as I rub against Him. That's the only way to be anointed. Please, please don't think that God stands from heaven, puts a bullseye on your head, and drops a drop at a time trying to hit you as you move around, and that's called anointing. Because that's not what happens. Anointing comes by being in the presence with God and so close to God that some rubs off on you. That's what an anointing is. Can you lose it? Well, it can get dry. It can get dry. Only way to get it back is to get to rubbing again. Get close. Who do you need? You know who you need? You need whoever God says you need. Can I tell you who you don't need? You. Now, there's a lot of things I can tell you you need. But the one thing I can find in the Scripture is the last thing you need is you. And for some reason, that seems to be of our greatest value is us, me. Maybe that's why that our anointing is a little dry and our infilling is a little low. Our hearing is a little bad. Our revelation is not quite up to standard. Understand what I'm saying? Because I'm a little too important. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No matter what else I've said, no matter what else I've thought today, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You and I learn that. We'll learn to hear. You and I learn to live right there in that first step. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We're going to find that second step of glory to glory, anointing, revelation, presence. We're going to find it. Why? Because your total job is to follow Christ Jesus into you being crucified. Jesus had to put His self to one side and say, I'll do what you want me to do. And until we find that place, until we learn that our flesh is the least important thing to us, we're never going to do the will of God. When does this start? Yesterday. Right? It's that urgent. I'm already late in starting. It's that urgent. Does God need to be told that He's exalted? No, He just needs to be exalted. You don't need to be told that. When we worship Him, when we praise, do we truly push Him up and push us down? Or are we just telling Him He's pushed up? When we praise and worship, do we see Him high and lifted up? Do we see ourselves bowed before Him, kissing His feet? Or are we just telling Him He's high and lifted up? And we're arm in arm with Him as we are high and lifted up. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a scripture. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now this is about a woman that had a malady. That means a true sickness, a true physical problem. She didn't have a dis-ease like many of you have, which is just something that makes you uneasy. She had a malady. There's the two definitions of sickness and disease. And she had been seeking every source except Jesus. The scripture that I skipped over, and I want to read to you again, in Romans 10:13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Very much encouraged in that scripture right now. Very much want to give it out. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say, tell Him your problems. It doesn't say who has the prettiest prayer. It doesn't say who's been praying the longest. It doesn't even say if you fasted 7 days or more. It just says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's get simple. Let's get like a little child. When something worries you, when something crops up in your mind, just say, Jesus, When a phone call comes and you look at that caller ID and you say, oh my. Say, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, get your mind off your problems. Don't let them upset you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. The first thing I want to tell you is I don't really care how vested your problem is, how dated or aged your problem is, what kind of a stronghold it has. This woman had every right to believe that there was no hope. For 12 years, she had evidence of sickness. Irrefutable, unmistakable evidence of sickness. And what problem did you have? For 12 years, how long has yours been there? 12 years. Verse 26. And had suffered many things from many physicians. How many of you have known people that run from church to church to church looking for a miracle? And how many of you know that those people had suffered many things at those hands? Those people that run from physician to physician, minister to minister to church, they forgot the scripture that I told you a while ago. Those people that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. See, one of the things that I totally trust is that if you call upon the name of the Lord, that God can give you a direction to go to get help if you don't get that help instantly. Now, I got a little sneaky suspicion that this woman had been had been calling on God for 13 years. Did you hear me? She'd been calling on God for 13 years, but going to the physicians. Physician in this case, definition, any other source than God. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Well, guys, turn on your television. Turn on those radio, TV preachers. And the first thing you're going to hear, or the last thing, is if you'll just send to this ministry, your problems will be solved. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that. You can find that those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Then the Lord will tell you what to do. How to get saved. She didn't have any more to give. Good place to be. She was at her wit's end and bleeding to death. She was no better. Worse, she was growing worse. Now, I got a little sneaky suspicion that the devil came along and said, you know what? You're a fool. Now, if the devil's never called you a fool, you've never tried to do anything. Because the minute you try to believe God, the next word you're going to hear is fool. She was doing everything she knew how to do. Are you listening? She was doing everything she knew how to do. One more time. Nobody could accuse her of not doing everything she knew how to do. But she was getting worse. You know what, in our society, we have this crazy idea that because doctors and hospitals are in place, that we can live forever. Because if we can just trust in the medical profession, we'll just continually get better. Or if something does happen to us, they will get us over it. Here's the test of your faith. What if they say you're going to die? What do you do then? This lady had come to that place. She had done everything she knew to do. She had spent every dime she had, and she was growing worse. Now, the outcome is death. If you're growing worse, the outcome is death. All right. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Now, where did she get that crazy thought? If her faith was in physicians, where did she get this crazy idea? Come on, it's crazy. In normal thinking, that's a foolish idea. But I promise you, either by the Holy Spirit or by one of those foolish preachers, she heard that there might be another source. And the cool part was, she had no other place to go anyway. So it was an easy decision for her. You and I are called to make the choice before we've done all we can do. Did you hear what I said? We're called to believe God instantly and not wait until we've done all we can do. Verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, I want to remind you of something. That the Holy Spirit had not yet descended. Okay? This was before the Holy Spirit came. In fact, Jesus said, unless I leave this earth, the Holy Spirit will not come. So we know that this lady wasn't visited by the Holy Spirit. So how did she hear about Jesus? See, everybody thinks she just had this rise up in her. No. She heard about Him. She heard some crazy preacher say, those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. She heard somewhere by somebody else that was healed. You know, that man, if you'll just go visit that man. She heard. And she obeyed. And she thought, my, His feet are beautiful. I believe I can trust Him. What did He look like? Well, I'm sure He was dressed in a three-piece suit. He'd probably gone to some theological seminary. He was gorgeous. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus was gorgeous? No, it says He's ugly. Well, does it? Very homely. Nothing to look at. So why would you want to go touch Him? Well, His clothes, they were probably, he wore those $5,000 suits. Come on, I'm not trying to bash Jesus. You know better now. I'm just trying to tell you that the same thing is in effect now. It was then. See, Jesus was not yet the Messiah. Jesus was not yet the Savior. Jesus was not yet the healer. He was a man in a ministry. Are you hearing me? He was called of God as a man to be in a ministry. Somebody said, go over there and listen to Him. Do you think she didn't hear His words? I'll guarantee you Jesus was speaking. Why was there a crowd? To get His autograph? He didn't sign autographs. So He had to be speaking. She said, I don't have time. Listen to me. She said, I don't have time to listen to the full sermon. I need something. In fact, I've listened to this man before. His messages never end. He just preaches all the time. He don't have those little 30-minute sermons that I really look for. He just preaches all the time. And I don't have all the time. I got to touch Him. I got to get in there and get a part of this. Seeking God, touched Jesus, and got healed. Now listen, there are still Jesuses walking this earth. Those that are called by God to bring forth good news. You need to touch them. Physically? No. Won't do any good. It didn't. Let me tell you something. How many people touched Jesus that day? How many people got healed? Well, one we know about. What does that mean? That means she listened and obeyed. She listened and obeyed. One of the things that I know she didn't do is make Jesus a golden calf. She didn't make Jesus a golden calf. She made Him a point of healing. Now, do we still have evidence of that happening today? We still have evidence of that happening today. The Bible promises. He doesn't say if you can touch Jesus' garment, you can be healed. The Bible says if you'll call on the elders of the church, the Jesus that's in the church, if you'll call on the elders of the church, have them pray. Have them anoint. You will be healed. You can have what you ask. One of the things that the devil's been actively trying to destroy is the ministry or the minister. Trying to bring them down through scandals. Believe me, they've helped a lot. I'm not trying to make them innocent. But the devil would win today if he can make preachers fools. According to what we're reading. My question to you. When you hear me preach, when you hear anybody else preach, do you take it serious? When I went to hear Charlotte Cronk last night, did I take that serious? Or did I say, one more hot air bag? One more person trying to take an offering? Watch how we think. If this woman could touch an anointed and be healed, what happens if you touch an anointed the wrong way? How many times have you called on other names except the Lord? How much have you spent on those other names? How much better are you now by spending that money, by putting out that effort? Are you healed? By doing that, are you healed? Are you sure? How many times has the doctor said it's in remission and then later it comes back? I'm going to tell you something. The supreme physician says this: if I touch you, you're touched. And there ain't no going back. You sure you want this? You're not going to be able to whine about anything anymore. Hey, I've known a lot of people that their whole value is in their sickness, their problems. They don't talk to you about Jesus, Him crucified. They talk to you about the last doctor's visit, the last lawyer's visit, the last visit to their auto mechanic. Mostly about how they got ripped off, but they're still talking about it. Now, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Romans 10:16. Who has believed our report? How many of you believe my report to the point where you'll risk your life with it? How many of you really? One of the stories that I could use some of ours, but you've heard mine before. Let me tell you what Charlotte said. She said, what was it, 40 years ago? She met a lady, or a couple, I think she called it, but she referenced the lady quite a bit, that they were out in the Indian reservation doing ministry. And they were going to serve, I believe, a supper. And the lady that she's referring to got a phone call or a message saying, you need to call your daughter quickly. She went. She got a report that her daughter had been in a terrible auto accident and she needed surgery right then or she was going to die. And the daughter couldn't sign the paper. She was not conscious. And they said, you must come now. And Charlotte's report was that, and Charlotte heard some of this. And of course, Charlotte was, you know, upset because the lady's daughter was going to die if something didn't happen. The lady never got upset. She never got worried. She said, now, what's your responsibility? Are you going to serve dinner? What are you going to do? And Charlotte's saying, your daughter. Oh, don't worry about it. What are you going to do? And so she just said, I'll do this now. What do we need to do? What do we need to do about this? Evidently, was it Charlotte that drove her? I believe that Charlotte drove her to the hospital because the report was that this lady began to pray. She said, Father, I'm not going to pray for myself, but I want to pray for Charlotte because she's upset. I don't think that Charlotte ever heard her pray for her daughter. Went to the hospital. All they wanted to do was get her to sign a paper for the surgery. The lady said, can I see my daughter? Well, sure. Went in there. She's unconscious. She talks to her daughter. She says, you're okay. Everything's okay. The daughter woke up. She says, now, where are your clothes? We need to go home. The nurse is there. The nurse says, you can't take her home. She's got to have the surgery. No, she doesn't have to have the surgery. She didn't have to have surgery. Turned to her daughter and says, how do you feel? Pretty good. See, she doesn't need the surgery. Where are her clothes? And they said, well, we can't release her. She's got to stay overnight. We've got to have her here for observation overnight. She turned to her daughter and she said, they're going to keep you here overnight. You sleep well. We'll pick you up in the morning. Turned to the nurses and said, now you take care of her like she's in the hospital, like she's in a motel. You take care of her. Let her sleep. Let her rest. We'll pick her up in the morning. They said, but we got to do this surgery. We got to do this observation. We've got to watch her. We've got to do these tests. She said, I'll make a deal with you. You find anything wrong with her, I'll pay for it. You don't. You pay for it. How much are you willing to risk? How sure are you? The result was they picked her up in the morning. There was nothing wrong with her. Whose report do you believe? And what are you willing to risk? Are you believing that God's in control? Are you believing, as we read in Jeremiah, that His very thoughts for you are for good? Can you trust that? Can you trust it with your life? Because you're really not crucified with Christ Jesus or in Christ Jesus until you can do that. How do you know when you're at that point? When you stop panicking like the world panics. You hear me? When you stop panicking like the world panics. Because you, as one who trusts God totally, has no reason to panic. Because you don't believe their report. You believe the report of the Lord. Jesus taught us that example when they came to Him frantically and said, Lazarus, He said, he's just sleeping. Well, then what's that smell? He was a man like you and I. Jesus was a man like you and I. He had every right to panic. But he refused to let his body rule him. He ruled his body, including panic. Stop, think, breathe, then act. Another message. Philippians 4. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. I serve a God that I can trust. Who do you serve? I report to you every Sunday and more often than that about a God that you can trust. Do you listen? Do you obey? Philippians 4, verse 4. A command to every child of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing when the wolves are at the door. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, you don't know about my problems and situations. This one thing I know, rejoice in the Lord always. Are you listening? Do you intend to obey? Are you just here to, we can just sprinkle a little smoke and holy water over and you can go on. I'm sorry, it's not Christianity. Christianity is listen and obey. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness or your calmness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Maybe the reason you panicked the last time is because the Lord was afar off. What does that mean? That means you walked away from Him. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Number 6, be anxious, panicky, worried. Not one thing should cause that in you. For nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. In everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. By the way, part of the peace of God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Or it may be the only. That may be every bit of peace is incorporated in Jesus Christ. In your belief system, you believe that Jesus took care of everything for you at the cross, right? So let's read it again. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, who is Christ Jesus, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So you're not in this alone. Take some obedience on your part, but He does work for you. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. See, that's some responsibility on your part. You're going to have to decide what's true and what's not true. Whatever things are pure, are noble. Soap operas. Extremely noble, right? WWF or whatever that is. Extremely noble and pure, correct? Keep it that way. Don't know. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. Whatever things are of good report. And whatever things are of good report. Well, I definitely know there goes your soap operas. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? And what are you believing? And what are you obeying? Who are you praising? The last report that you gave to whoever you gave a last report to, who was it about and what was it about? Was it about your last doctor's report, banker's report, lawyer's report, television's report, body's feelings report? Because if that's the case, I don't want to hear it. Because I read the Scripture and it says, whatever is of good report, meditate on these things. I want to help you meditate on good things. So please don't tell me the bad stuff. Because my Bible says that your responsibility is to cast all of your cares upon Him and let Him do the caring for you. So if you're all bound up with worries and frets and concerns, sicknesses, diseases, then you have not yet cast all of your cares upon Him because you're still carrying them. How do I know? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How are you doing today? Pretty good. My grandmother would say, well, you're not pretty, you are good. So I said, my grandmother would say, you're not pretty, you are good. Or she'd say, pretty and good both. That's fine. I'm not pretty good. I'm pretty. and I'm good. But I'm not pretty good. Come on. Well, you might as well say good things about you. There's plenty of people who say bad things. The Bible says you have the total permission to call those things that aren't as if they already are. So that's kind of an assignment. The devil and all of his have plenty of bad things to say about you. You are his. He's given you the things to say about you. You need to say those things. And if people say that's ego, their father's a liar. Truth is not in them. Well, I'll tell you what. What report do we want to talk about this morning? Anything that's good, anything that's noble, anything that's pure, anything that has virtue, anything that builds anybody else up and you at the same time, you meditate on those things. And as you're meditating, somebody pokes you, out comes the meditation. Right? All they got to do is touch you and you're so full of meditation, it just squirts out. Good, pure, noble, true. And all of a sudden, you become one that virtue comes out of you and heals somebody else. Because everything that's noble and pure and just and true is Christ Jesus. And you said in this place, along with me, that you are determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That means all that's pure and noble, powerful and truth. So somebody touches you, He comes out. So He's still available to those that want to touch the Him, even if it's on us. Amen? Meditate on the wrong things, somebody touches us, they get a flow of blood. Now what do you want? Do you want to give disease? Or do you want to remove disease? Then meditate on these things. Are you at peace? Are you at peace? Praise the Lord. Do you know how much confidence I have in what I'm telling you this morning? Do you know how much of my life I've risked and based on this theory? And I'm not changing it for you. I expect you to change. Because I've been tested. I've been tested. What I speak of is not inexperience. And I thank God every day for the testing. Because I can stand before you now, sure. When you hear me talk, it's something that I'm sure about. When you hear me pray, it's something that I'm sure about. And I have no fear of any other report. You know what amazes me is preachers want to talk to you about, are you prepared to die? If the Lord would come right now, are you ready to go? It's a good question. But it's kind of a silly question. It's kind of a silly question. Because you know what happens? When those questions are put in front of us over and over and over, then we make preparations to die. We don't make preparations to live. We're living every moment, hanging 10 with our 10 toes over the edge of the board, ready to die. I'm not ready to die. I'm ready to live. The Bible teaches me that's where I stay. I'm excited about life and I'm excited about who Jesus is. And I'm excited about who I am in Christ Jesus. And I'm excited about what He's doing through me. And I'm excited about the next woman with the issue of blood that touches me. Are you excited about that? Are you excited about the next Lazarus you have to run into? Most of the time that'll be some dead Christian friend of yours that's already in the grave and just don't know it and it's up to you to pull him out. Do you believe in the God you serve enough to get excited about Him? Let's stop looking for the next death step and start beginning to look for what He's going to do that creates life and that more abundantly. But you don't know where I am. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep where you are a secret. Let's start talking about who Christ Jesus is and where He is and where I'm going. Because I'm going to where He is. I'm not going to ask Him to come to where I'm at. Oh Lord, meet me at my need. No! I can hear Him saying, no! You meet me at my throne. I'm not coming to where you got yourself where you are. Think I'm going to come down there in that mess? I took that on me once already. I'm not going to do it again. What's your plan for the future? Do you have one? Do you have a future? Are you making plans to die? You making plans for somebody to take care of Dad? Are you making plans for every part of you to be healthy until the day both of you lay down and go to sleep? You don't think God's that powerful? That He can make you one and He can't make you die at the same time? What a better way to go. Come on. Let's get real. I'm not planning for death. But if I'm making a choice, and He does give me that choice, I can choose how old I am, and I can choose how we go. I got some news for you. When Connie and I go, don't get in the way of our chariot. You might get run over. What's your choice? Cancer? Sugar diabetes? Old age? Come on. Don't receive those reports. Don't receive them. I'm not going to answer all that. Here's one I want to answer. What do you expect us to do? Go against all reason? Yes. You've given up. You know what happened? When you were born again, you gave up your reason. And you took on Christ Jesus' reason. And that's the only one you can use from now on. Here's what we need. According to the woman that had the issue of blood, according to every verse in the Scripture, in the Bible, here's what we need. I don't need any healing. I don't need any finances. I don't need any restoration. I don't need any forgiveness. I don't need any direction. I don't need any revelation. I don't need anything but His presence. The woman at the well, she'd done everything by reason according to what she thought was right and proper. And she said, I am beyond help. I need to touch. And the minute she touched, all of her answers came. She wasn't as silly as we are. She wasn't trying to get these specific things. She just wanted healed. We need to even change our theology. We don't need to be born again. We just need to be healed. Sin has left a crimson stain. All I need is to be healed from the stain. Amen? Poverty's left a stain. Left a cancer, a tumor. Don't pray. Just touch. Just touch Him. I'm still convinced and I'm still trying to get it across. We need to shut up. We need to shut up our praying and we need to shut up our jabber. And we need to just sit in His presence and watch Him respond. Let's quit telling Him what to do. Let's quit being smarter than Him. Let's just get down to it. The minute we began to pray and tell Him what to do, we think we're smarter than Him. I trust Jesus because He loves me more than I love me. And He's got a better plan than I could ever write down. In fact, the Bible says that you can write down your plan as big as you want. And His thought processes are far beyond that. Now you need to trust that. You need to sleep in that. You need to rest in that. You need to eat in that. You need to bathe in that. You need to dress in that. You need to walk and talk in that. You need to breathe in that. Live, move, and have your being, it says, in Him. Him who? Him peace. Him the answer to every one of your needs. In Him. You need to sit with a grin on your face and make everybody wonder what you're up to. Just a little smirk grin. When the enemy comes and says, I'm going to kill your daughter, you don't even respond. Don't even respond. You need to get to be such in Christ Jesus that you don't even respond to the foolish reports. Don't start doing your war dance and slinging blood all over doorposts. Rest in Him. 13 years the woman had been fighting her own. 1 second, she rested and got healed. There's needs represented all over, all in here. Big needs. They're real. I'm not trying to make light of them. I'm telling you, you have needs. I'm not saying you don't. For 13 years, the woman with the issue of blood had need. Are you looking for the correct formula? Well, my feet are beautiful. Are you listening? I got your answer. The answer is, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be full of fear. Where were you when He died for this? There's a beautiful thing in there in Job when God gets a little angry at Job and says, where were you when I created this earth? And where were you when I divided the water from the land? And where were you when I hung the stars and the moon and sun up there? Where were you when I decided to make clouds and Where were you when I decided to make everything else that there is? Where were you? I still think sometimes when I said, what are you thinking? I would like to ask you, where were you when you heard the Word? Where were you when the Word was spoken? Where were you when we talked about the God that created every cell in your body? Did you not get that? That He created it? That He's in charge of it? Where were you? Or were you in that crowd that was afraid to approach God? Or are you one of those Moses characters? You going to be the one that builds the golden calf, partying in your own rights and will? Or are you going to be up there saying, it may be scary to approach God, but I'm going to approach Him anyway? You know what the Scripture says? When the man of God began to move, it looked dark. Remember that in the Scripture? That it looked dark and scary? See, I did not tell you that it was an easy thing to trust God. I just said that it would work. It's the right thing. My feet are beautiful. Are you listening? Are you listening? I got to get your attention somehow. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. You can trust God. You can trust that He sent His only begotten Son. You can trust it wasn't for nothing. You can trust that whatever happened that Jesus Christ agreed with, whatever happened to Him, was for you and for your benefit. Not for mine, but for us. And you can get to that place so much that you can rest in the middle of a war. It's all right to be angry. Just don't sin. Who are you going to be angry at? Well, you need to get with God and find out so you don't sin. It's easy to point the finger. Harry, I'm just going to be mad at you today. The whole thing's your fault. I just sinned. I didn't even raise my voice and I just sinned because I lied. I did not speak the truth. It's our biggest danger in sinning is to blame something else. Who am I to blame? Jesus. Blame Him. Well, what do you mean by that? Point to Him. Say, my healing is your fault. My prosperity is your fault. How many ways I got to approach this to get you to understand? Does it not say that give all glory to God is the way to be? Well, Jesus, I sinned yesterday. I give You glory. Try it and see if something doesn't happen in you. You think you're going to insult Him? You ain't that big. You just be bold and do something different. You say, God, I'm a screw up. I give You glory. Come on, let's go back to the woman again with the issue of blood. Did she come healed or did she come dirty? That's the dirtiest thing that could ever happen to a woman back then. They were a scourge to society. They were an outcast. She wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. She was the dirtiest of dirty in that society. And she came the dirtiest of dirty and said, I have a right. Do you have that right? Yeah. Or did the last thing that was pronounced on you take away your rights? Did the last time the doctor held the x-ray up or that other thing, the MRI, because that thing pronounced a tumor or a cancer or a something wrong with your colon or whatever, is that the truth? Or is Jesus the truth? Yeah. You see, I'd be a fool to receive any other report because too many times God has healed me. And so I'm very confident in telling you that I'd be a fool to receive a doctor's report or a stockbroker's report. Too many times I've seen other things than the truth or the facts. You look at it the way you want. See, I don't care what the facts is. I want to know what the truth is. Praise Your Lord. The Bible specifically says that if you will seek Him, all these other needs will be taken care of. These things will follow. They'll happen. Do you trust God? All right, stand with me. Praise the Lord. You have every right in the world to praise the Lord at this moment. Amen. You have no right in the world to be silent. You have every right to thank Him that your problems are met, your needs are met. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now you have one other right. You don't just have a right to thank Him that your needs are met. You have the right that those needs are met far beyond anything that you've ever dreamed. If I need a healing, I have the right to receive the healing. but I also have a right to be restored. In other words, something in me happens that takes me to a place that I was better than just healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a place in the Bible that says that if you recognize who has stolen from you, if you recognize who has stolen from you, you have the right to have that returned to you sevenfold. But you first have to stop blaming God, because you're not going to get anything out of that one. You have to blame the right person. That would be the devil. Listen, little children. The devil's bad. God is good. All bad things come from the devil. All good things come from God. That's the strongest message anybody could ever learn. If they'll just learn that, they got life by the tail. All bad things come from the devil. All good things come from God. Unless you become as a little child, you'll never understand the things of the kingdom. You'll never receive the things of the kingdom. Now, what was your problem? What were you thinking? You know, not one of you have a problem in here. And I'm going to prophesy that, not speak it as fact, but as truth. Not one of you have a problem. Not one of you have problems with money. Not one of you have problems with sickness and disease. Not one of you needs to succumb to a doctor's report or the report of society or the report of an enemy or a friend in wolf's clothing, sheep's clothing. Not one of you has the right, and I will not speak that over you. I will speak salvation and healing. I will speak over you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now you must believe that my feet are beautiful. You got to believe it. Otherwise, don't come back. You're wasting your time. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, don't come. If you believe I am, then believe God sent me to tell you that truth. And now you got something really to believe in, that He is for you, not against you. Now, Stan, you're just trying to pump me up. Yeah, but I'm using the truth. You notice I didn't ask you if you'll give $100 to the ministry, God will bless you? Because there's nowhere in the Bible that says that. This is free. I didn't pay for it, and you're not required to pay for it. Now, when He touches us, He's going to touch our billfold too. But not right now. Not right now. Anybody need any special agreement or prophecy or prayer? Yeah? Oh, yeah? Why don't you come up rather than us just stop in the service? Why don't you, a couple of you women, listen to her? And please tell me what we need to do. Okay? Anybody else? Richard? A couple of you gentlemen, listen to see what Richard's problems are. And by the Spirit of the living God, let's determine how to reproach him. Anybody else? Everybody saved? You bought stock in heaven then, huh? Praise God. Dividends are great. Hallelujah. Peace. Peace. I can tell you right now, these two people need peace badly. They need it badly. They're coming from different areas, different problems, but they just need peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now all you Jesuses around them, you lay hands on, let them touch you. The promise is those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody believe that promise? Hallelujah. What's the name of the Lord? Can you answer me that? What's the name of the Lord? There's one, a strong tower. Peace is another one. Healer, Messiah, Savior, Deliverer, Emmanuel, Lord. Not one in those. Not, you can look up all the names of our Lord, Jesus, and you're not going to find one threatening name unless you're living in darkness, and then it's all threatening. Praise the Lord. All of the hearts clear? All hearts clear? While they pray? And while these issues of blood are taken care of? Hallelujah. I thank you for coming. I ask God to seal every word that was spoken in your heart this morning and not seal it there as sealed up and never creating a harvest, but it's sealed to bring forth a harvest that God has spoken over you, over you. The very thing that God's spoken over you, I speak a harvest from that. And this word will help. It'll help fertilize and water. Praise you, Lord. That you will return next Sunday. That you will be better than when you came. And all of this will be a fact because God needs glory. Y'all be faithful to give Him glory? All right. Everybody that agrees says amen. Y'all be dismissed. Amen.